Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TP Timeless. The grill is all set. We ready to get this thing rocking and rolling. Welcome back to the cookout. A lot of stuff to get into. This is the show based on callers, and that's a call in. Talk to me, man. Anything y'all want to throw out there, we will put it on the grill. A lot of stuff across the board in the sport world. But we got some interesting perspectives here in Sports City. A lot of recipes put at stake on the grill. We will be dicing these things up and plate it just for you. Food for thought. Hopefully they can do these dishes. I done took off the blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive.
What about I be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the ow. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison Florence connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town. I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear that they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turn me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't change me, but I wouldn't win insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, bitch, it's true. All I got is this money, and this to do.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.
The caller number is 917-889-9592. Come on, Sports City, get up in here, man. I'm feeling some type of way. Interesting Tuesday, man. Oh, man, we're a day away from the wrap-up of the retirement, man. Man, I got to see the blowout, man. I felt bad that we was putting it to him yesterday. So, Sports City, I apologize that I had to make an abrupt run. But, hey, y'all got one more day of Kobe tomorrow, man. I ain't gonna spill too much into what I got on plate here in the kitchen. I got my brother with me calling in from the Virginia region, aka the DMV, the Virginia guy, West and original Virginia. Tommy B in the building. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm doing good. Getting ready to watch my Nationals in GF for the first time this year.
Okay, I'm doing all right too. So, I know me and him actually talked outside of the kitchen before we got to the green room, and we've also been told by a couple of people that they'd be here to throw some dishes out too, so I'll leave the door open on that aspect. There's a couple of interesting topics that I have laid out, one that actually made me raise my eyebrows, but I'm not going to start off today. I want to hear where you want to go first, a topic or two that you hit on today as we start the show off.
What, the one about blacks in New York?
Exactly.
Oh. Hey, I was flipping through channels and landed on ESPN, and they had some goofball on there saying that there's reports that David Blatt's name's coming up with the new head coaching job next year for the New York Knicks. Personally, I don't see why. You made some good points when we were talking outside the kitchen. I don't see why Phil just doesn't come back and do it himself. But, hey.
Now, here's an interesting situation that I see with David Black as the head coach potentially for the Knicks. One, he's trying to build up that resume because his resume that he has, he spent – 3 decades away from American basketball. He comes here for a year. He gets straight to the NBA Finals. And I don't know how much you want to put on the shoulders of LeBron or put on the shoulders of Kyrie or on one shoulder of Kevin Love. I don't mean to be funny. Let me knock on wood. I don't mean to be funny. But Kevin Love actually played up until the postseason and got his shoulder dislocated and couldn't play any longer for the remainder of the season. But However, you look at David Black's situation, here goes a perfect scenario for David Black. And this is what I wanted to throw out at the cookout as we discussed this situation. One, you already seen how the situation was in Cleveland, where he really didn't have a handle on the team. It was more or less LeBron's team. Because, to be honest, you could see in timeouts, LeBron was talking to players more than David Black. You could see David Black trying to discuss things with the referee. It'd be LeBron pulling him back, trying not to get a technical. And, you know, I don't want it to be a situation where it looks like I'm saying LeBron is LeBron now. LeBron gets people fired or traded, so on and so forth. But, to be honest, the way that it looks on the outside looking in, it looks like he can be a puppet in that situation. Yeah, I said it. So what? I said it. He could be a puppet in that situation. And me drawing this situation up for the Knicks, Phil Jackson, and David Blatt himself, I look at this like, hey, David Blatt actually came here from a European-style game and was actually kind of told how they want to run the organization or run his teams, and he got it done. He got them to an NBA final, fell short because of the injuries that they suffered. Now, you look at the situation in New York. They have not had a great coach there since like I can't even think of the last time. Van Gundy. I'll be fair. I'll do Van Gundy. As far as Van Gundy, that's probably the last good coach that they've had in New York. Of course, you have some coaches that had some, you know, postseason success, getting them to the postseason and, you know, one and done, potentially second round, so on and so forth. Now, you have a personality as big as Carmelo Anthony. That's right. Carmelo, I won't give you superstar. I'll give you star. I'll give you star personality of Carmelo, where he's just as big as LeBron in that nature, but on the floor he has not had that turnaround yet. He is at that age where the sun, you know, the sand is winding down in the hourglass, so on and so forth. And for David Black to come from a situation where he had to deal with the LeBron situation, he goes in front of a Carmelo, and actually Phil could actually give him the keys to the system of the triangle, try to make this work, and back away from the bench and watch from afar. That's how I look at this situation with Phil Jackson, the Knicks, and David Black, if this does go down. But that's available coaches that they could throw out there. Obviously, you got a Van Gundy again, which I doubt Jeff will go there. You also got Tom Thibodeau, which, let's be honest, when you look at this New York Knicks team, they need defense in the middle of New York. So that's something that also has to be preached and looked upon also. So I don't know which way they want to go with the coaching scenario, but right now with the David Black speculation or more or less a situation where they're interested in him, I can see how. And just to ice the case, David Black is from this region, the East Coast region. So you got to think that it could be a fit, or this could be a mistake making the move. But, I mean, they've suffered so many different times trying to put a coach at, you know, in position in front of the New York Knicks team, and it hasn't panned out the way that they wanted it to. Especially while, what, Carmelo's going to be, what, 32 this year? 31, 32, he's in that range. Like, these guys are getting up there. The only one that I look at as the next star is Porzingis. 7'3", potentially can still be growing. Like, I can't believe that he's only, like, 19, 20 years old. He's not done growing. So you got to think about the players on this roster as well that could actually be coachable. And if Carmelo is coachable at this point right now, too. So that's the way I look at this with David Black. But he can no longer show a softer shell. He's going to have to go into this situation, you know, hard-nosed as possible. Your thoughts on this before we get away from it?
I'm going to throw another guy out there that I actually thought they should have hired before they even hired anybody else. He's from New York. He went to St. John's. And if I remember correctly, he played for the Knicks. Mark Jackson.
Now, here's the thing about Mark Jackson that I look at with this situation. That's a team that he could run. And I know his heart would be in the situation because he's from New York City, too, at that. He's going to have to get a guard right now because he's a point guard, former point guard of the NBA. And when he left his coaching position out there in Golden State, he had two interesting guards in Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. So I don't know if Calderon is the guy. I know that he'll probably be digging within free agency or within the draft to make it happen, to get a point guard that could actually manage or control the game that he would like to see done. And knowing that he's a scoring type of guard, I don't want to say a score first type of guard, but a guard that can score the ball. And it's tough to try and find their type of guard at the end of the day. And this is speaking in reference to the New York Knicks also. Like, if we could look at a situation and Mark could actually run the show. But that's an interesting move if Phil can make that happen, if he could go after a guy like Mark Jackson. I actually like that. But like I said, Thibodeau's out there. I doubt that they backtrack to go to Jeff Van Gundy. I highly do think that they'll go that way. And just like you said, I mean, it's interesting if they go after Mark Jackson. Otherwise, you know, hand in a cookie jar type of situation to make the turnaround. But like I said, with you initializing this situation, David Blatt is more or less throw in front of Phil, have him alongside Kurt Rambis, which I highly doubt that they go after Kurt Rambis to run this situation in New York. Because Kurt Rambis, if people look at the percentage of Kurt Rambis running the show, it's like, how does he continue to get jobs in the NBA? And the only reason why I think it can happen for him in front of Phil is because he's aware of the triangle system, and I don't know how much they can get out of this team with this situation without making some moves, but it's an interesting carousel right now. So right now I think of the three-headed race with Thibodeau. You threw out Mark Jackson, which I actually respect if that could actually happen. I doubt if they backtrack on a Van Gundy, or if they want to go to college ranks and get some names that are down there. Probably Calipari would probably be the only one I could think that'll move, because I think Coach K, with his lifetime situation down there at Duke, he won't move. Other notables in college basketball that we could try and throw out there, you know, we'd have to, you know, pick and choose to see who would be a guy capable to deal with the New York media and market and deal with no longer college players. These are grown men with money that, you know, don't really want to be, you know, thumbed down in a situation. So it's interesting, but I know that would have been an interesting topic to start off with the, potential. I don't even want to say that he's going there, but the potential possibility of him running the show in New York. Anything else in front of that, Tommy, before we get away from it?
The only college coach I could see that could deal with that New York media is Jay Wright, because you look at what he has to go through with that Philadelphia. Philadelphia and New York media is almost the same.
That's true, but this is the one thing about Jay Wright. I don't think Jay Wright's leaving Villanova right after he won his first championship there. That's the one thing about Jay Wright. I think he's gonna soak this season in and approach next season as they lift the banner up, so on and so forth. But see how far he can get with his team, because this is the first time Villanova's been past the Elite Eight or Sweet 16 in a while. So it's not like you just get the ring and just walk away from college ball, you know. So that, I mean, Jay Wright could be a guy. I know Philadelphia's market, how brutal they are toward people and their sport venues, so on and so forth. It could be a challenge for him, but I still think that he showed the respect to stay in the college ranks and run that team as they just came off a championship run. But he does lose a good amount of seniors this season, and I wouldn't be surprised if he pulled a Pete Carroll, you know what I'm saying, or Urban Meyer to get out of Philadelphia. That would be interesting. If Jay Wright would be another college coach that we could think of that we could throw in that scenario also. Okay. We got a ton of topics. Well, at least I got a ton of topics to get into. First and foremost, I don't know if I want to go back to the Josh Gordon situation, but he just was noted as being denied for his reinstatement toward the NFL. They said that he could potentially go after the appeal August 1st. That was one that I had. The other one I had is, this is how I wrote it up. I wrote it up like this. Bill Belichick is up to his old antics again, making things happen. They're getting LeGarrette Blount back in New England. That was another one as well. And Adrian Broner in jail for 10 days. They only gave him 10 days. And I don't wish jail on no man. I don't want to see nobody locked up. Unless these guys are murderers, serial killers, that's, you know, stuff like that. That's the only thing I can deal with, seeing people locked up. But if they have to do what they need to do, so be it. But Adrian Broner's situation different. He's facing a 10-day sentence as well. Does this give him a little fame in the light of him getting locked up for 10 days while being on probation? He just got into a rift with the Ohio police last July, getting into the situation that just happened a couple of weeks ago. He's now in prison for a 10-day sentence as well. Tommy, where would you like to start off first? Josh Gordon being denied with his reinstatement, LeGarrette Blount and Bill Belichick back at it again in New England, or Adrian Broner to start off with, at least for my first three?
I like the signing of Blunt and all. And I'll tell you, this is why. They have a passing game, and they didn't really have that running game. They have that running game now to where they can bruise you, because Blunt's going to run you over. He ain't trying to outrun you and cut here. He's going to run you over. So otherwise, he's going to wear down the linebackers, the D-line, and even the safeties and everything. So when you're tired, what's that do? That slows your pass rush down. So then, once again, that helps your offensive line that they had problems in New England this past season blocking. So that gives Brady enough time to hit those, might as well say, dink and dunks, because a lot of those passes he throws are dinks and dunks. So, I mean, I love that signing.
Just to see him back in New England brings back a thought of, if, and I know, and I'm actually trying to be hopeful for the situation, but I know injuries are part of the game. And if the injury didn't happen, just picture how New England would have looked if Deion Lewis were to remain healthy. He broke his leg and was out for the season. They were undefeated at that point where they had everybody. Before Edelman's injury, before Gronk got hurt, before Deion Lewis got injured, they were smashing everybody. It wasn't like they were just winning games. They were taking care of business. They lost a shifty running back in Deion Lewis and trying to patchwork, and it ain't like it's going to hurt Tom Brady anyway, because Tom Brady makes things happen with mediocre players. Let's be real. In certain instances, he was going out there with David Gibbons, Deion Branch, and, you know, Antoine Smith. Where are these guys now? Deion Branch is probably the only household name that you could think of in the NFL outside of David Gibbons. You probably can't even remember David Gibbons unless you weren't a real person that were around Sports City or a real nose-to-nose football type of guy. But he could make the best out of, you know, the least of situations. For him to get a gun back like LeGarrette Blount, if LeGarrette Blount could stay healthy also for this Patriots team, puts them right back in the thick of things in the AFC, whether they get to the postseason or win the AFC East or – I really don't want to say this. If they get back to another AFC championship game, I mean, this is all in perspective. And I think that Belichick seen a good run out of him while he was in New England for the first stint before he ended up going to Pittsburgh and being passed around, so on and so forth. But we do have Mr. Silver in the building. Nacho, welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
Feeling good. Feeling a little better. jump right into it. The Patriots re-signing LeGarrette Blount is evident of them knowing that they need to run the ball and that they need to, do the things to relieve a little bit of the the pressure on Tom Brady, knowing that next year going into the division, just the division itself is a year within the new systems that they all had pretty much last year. I know Miami's missing a key player in Olivier Vernon and, things of that nature, but they still do have Ndamukong Suh and Cameron Wake, and they still do have a formidable defense that is going to be packed up there. And also we know what the Jets are going to bring, and we know what the Bills are going to bring. So that's just the division. The conference itself is getting better. The defenses in that conference are starting to get better. The parity in that conference is getting a little bit better. The bottom echelon teams, the Jaguars, the Raiders, the Texans, they're beating teams that maybe they shouldn't be beating. Maybe they're beating them now because they're getting better. Who knows? We'll have to see this next year. But with all that being said, Bill Belichick knows what's going on in his conference, especially in his division. And he knows that his quarterback was pressured and hit an awful lot last year for Tom Brady and the Patriots more than they would like. So, they're definitely bringing back a guy that they know can run their system and run it well, and relieve someone in case of injury, in case of this, in case of that. That's just another smart move by Bill Belichick, and that's another position that they maybe don't have to worry about in the draft, and we can see them pull some more wizardry and get some more drafts, and, you know, who knows what happens. But that team just knows what they're doing at every corner, you know, when it comes to the off-season moves.
Okay, now, looking at the situation, because they've lost a fair amount of running backs in the past two seasons. They lost Vereen to the Giants. They lost Ridley, who I'm scared of right now, to the Detroit Lions. Stephen Ridley's in Detroit right now. Deion Lewis, we have to wait and see how this actually pans out, if they're going to bring him back after his multiple situations of being injured. And, again, he was out last season with a broken leg. Does he look like himself from years while he was in Pittsburgh in college and, you know, trying to get acclimated to the NFL from the Cleveland situation and also here? I mean, does this added situation of LeGarrette Blount to whatever system they put behind Tom Brady make them, again, a top – let me be fair – a top four team in the AFC, or is this something that, you know, it must see TV to see if Brady and the Patriots start to slump after they got as high as they could last year to another AFC championship game?
It helps them because, say Gronk gets hurt again or one of those other receivers, they can depend on Blount running the football now, 30, 35 times now, because he's a big bruising back. This helps them out more than ever. Now, you want to hit the division. Watch out for Buffalo this year. Something tells me Rex Ryan knew what he was doing when he brought in Ed Reed. That defense is going to be a little better now. And Belichick knows it, so now he's going to bring in these back Blount. It's a chess match.
Interesting. Plus, we still have to wait and see what's going to happen with LeSean McCoy up there, too. That's the one thing I'm worried about, too, especially with that, off-duty cop situation that he got caught up in. That's one thing I'm worried about,
too. All that was dropped,
Ty. Yeah.
Okay, so.
That was all dropped.
Okay, so if everything's clear right there, if everything's clear right there, then he'll have that in his rear view. But let's just throw out the Ed Reed situation. I mean, Ed Reed is what? Under 500 up against the Patriots? I mean, they've beaten the Patriots twice in postseason play. But, you know, every other time, Brady knows what to expect of number 20 in that outfield. You know what I'm saying? So I love it because, both of us are Hurricane fans, so on and so forth. But we have to see that secondary step up. I've been saying this year after year after year that I'm still scared of Buffalo secondary because they have speed out there. They have players that have the ability, capability to make plays, and they don't turn out that way. Year after year, that secondary somehow, some way falls on their face. Is Ed Reed really that key component while he's not out on the field to turn this thing around? Can he really coach this team that secondary to where they need to be? That is the one thing that I'm looking at.
I think when you have the confidence of a Stephon Gilmore and you've got a secondary that just wants to prove themselves because they have a coach who believes in building from the outside in, even though he has a team that has a good interior, he relies on the Cromarties and the Revises and the players of that nature to be his cog of defense and lock down receivers so that those guys in the front can get those sacks and get those pressures. So to me, I think he can be a help. He make this one of the top, safety, back ends in the league. Who knows? They're already looking to be pretty good this year. What Ed Reed brings is a knowledge and an intellect into the game that I think every team would desire. The ability to lead men at any position, whether it's on the field or off the field, I think Ed Reed might have that. Seeing the little bit that I did see, game-wise, and then seeing what I've seen documentary-wise on any of the teams he's been on, he's one of those guys that you feel could have been a head coach his entire career. And you wouldn't have thought twice about it. So I think he's one of those guys, but he's a position coach for sure. He's definitely going to have to stay there, not try to become a D coordinator next year or whatever, but stay there and develop these young kids and be a leader from the sideline and help them read offenses and things of that nature. I think it can be a help. What I do want to get back to, Ty, is the fact that you brought up LeSean McCoy. Now, we did say that the in-court issues are finished, but the NFL, I'm not sure. Actually, I am pretty sure that they have not, you know, doled down punishment or whatever for him. This could be conduct detrimental to the league, a two-game suspension, three- or four-game suspension, one-game suspension at that. We can see something from this, even though there is no court charges. You know, who knows what's going to happen, especially with Roger Goodell. Who knows how he takes the NFL owners and people trying to take his power away that didn't even, you know, hasn't gone through. So let's see what happens when it comes to, you know, him making a decision now. I just really, to me, that is a wait and see situation, but it is could be detrimental to this team, because in this division, we talk about maybe one or two games, but in this division, that could be, you know, making the playoffs or not, or even winning the division or not. So you need all you need the entire roster out there ready and raring to go, barring no injury, you know, ready to, you know, put this division, you know, in your pocket and get going.
Well, this is the one thing I look at within the division. This is interesting that we're AFC Easting right now. But, one, is Tyrod Taylor ready to win the AFC East? I'm putting it on
no.
The board right now. Hold on. I'm just putting dishes out. Think about it. They call it food for thought. Don't just hurry up and eat what I put out.
That's the only thing I don't like about this team.
So how did you put the Bills up here then? If you're scared of Tyrod Taylor, and knowing you're in Virginia, and knowing you are a diehard Kane fan like me and don't really like Virginia Tech, his questionability throughout the season. Now, last year, I'm not going to lie, he came up with some interesting games and had some well-played, managed games so they could actually pull out some games. But you already have a questionability about him trying to win his division or becoming a wild card at worst-case scenario. You know what I'm saying?
He had his opportunity in Baltimore. When he played in Baltimore, we had a winning team. We rushed Joe Flacco. What did he do? He went out and stinked it up with a Super Bowl team. And he lost.
Right.
And stunk it up.
Well, I don't know if you want to. I'm not going to put the man's entire career on one game, considering he was a perennial backup, just waiting to go to his next team and prove himself. He knew Baltimore was not his home. He knew Baltimore was not going to be the place behind Joe Flacco for him. He wanted to be a starter. So I'm not going to put the entirety of what this man's future is. I do believe he is ready to win the division, a la Russell Wilson, a la Cam Newton-type style, where he's going to have one of the best defenses to do it. This man is not going to lead a team like we think of, you know, and put astronomical numbers out there, rushing and passing and be just that type of guy that he's got the ball and he's going to score every time. That's not going to be Tyrod Taylor. He's going to be consistent. He's going to get the ball down the field and he's going to score touchdowns. The problem, or not the problem, but the solution to the problem in Buffalo is their defense. They need that to be clicking and working for them to even think about winning any kind of division at all. You need to shut down Tom Brady, albeit Ryan Tannehill may not be the greatest thing ever, but he can, you know, beat bad defenses. If you're not good, he can beat you. And it's just one of those things that, you know, you go against it, even with Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, a bad defense, he will beat. So you have to have good defense in this division to even think about it. I think for them, can lead a team, but by all means, it's not going to be him going out and putting up 130 passer rating and balling out every single game. He's going to need help from his defense, and he's going to have to use his legs to get away from situations when his wide receivers can't get open, you know, and it's just going to be, to me, I think he can do it. I think this is a guy who sat behind Joe Flacco, who was just waiting for his opportunity at his next stop, which is Buffalo. He's got a good coach in Rex Ryan. He's got an offense that believes in him, and he's got players, which is key, that believe in him. So, to me, I think he can, and I'm not going to put one loss in a Ravens uniform. You know, he knew what he was about, and no one in their right minds at that time thought he was playing with a Super Bowl winning team. Hindsight's 2020.
Now, I will say this. He needs a healthy Woods and the other wide receiver that couldn't stay healthy last year from Clemson.
Sammy Watkins.
I mean, he needs healthy receivers to stay consistent. I'll give him that. But I just don't see it.
Okay, I guess I got that totally snatched out of my hand, so I can't cook it no more. Cause not to rant with it completely, gave you all the rest of the division with the Dolphins and the Jets. I was gonna, Sports League, I was gonna. I was trying. They won't let me do it no more. This is what I'm talking about. I tried for it, and I really
did.
Did
when you make us hold our breath for only an hour on Mondays, we couldn't relieve our lungs. So you created this monster.
Wait, I couldn't hear you. Say that again?
I said, this is what happens when you make us hold our breath on Monday, only holding us to an hour. So you created this monster.
Okay. I see monsters. Okay, that's the problem. I didn't create this monster. This was a little animal at one point until he ate too many dishes in the damn kitchen. Now, look, I feel like I'm dealing with the little shop of horror instead of the damn kitchen. Okay. Now. Okay, so, where was I going to go? You just made me laugh that one out. I know that there was a topic that you brought to the kitchen that we were discussing upon closing out the wrap-up that you gave us 24 hours to get our minds right, so I'll let you have at it since you already stole dishes from me.
Yeah, I pretty much just wanted to get some positive NFL vibes going. I know we talked negatively, like I said yesterday, about NFL quarterbacks and things of that nature. So positively in the right direction, so to speak. The three quarterbacks next year that don't own Super Bowl rings, being a starter, I know there's a couple backups that may be starting that have Super Bowl rings or things of that nature. But guys who don't have Super Bowl rings as a starter that may be able to lead their team to the Super Bowl and finally claim it next year. This being quarterbacks that make the right, you know, are in the right organization at the right time, whether it be, you know, 10, 12-year veterans, second-year players, whatever, the guys that are next in line to break that threshold, and it could be a Cam Newton, it could be a Andy Dalton teams, play, you know, Brock Osweiler, you know, guys, any of that, who we think the next three guys possibly that could be, you know, headlining their team into the Super Bowl come, you know, would it be February 2017?
Tommy, you want to go first or you want me to go first?
Yeah, I can go first. Unless you want to go first, then go ahead.
I'll go first, since I always hide behind everybody to try to go after them. The three quarterbacks that I had in mind, as of him mentioning these, are as follows. And I do have an honorable mention one, but I don't even want to give him up like that. But the ones I have, I'm going to actually make people mad at least one of them. Matt Ryan, Andrew Luck.
Jesus.
And, of course, see, I know. Matt Ryan, Andrew Luck, and, of course, the one that will make people mad is Tony Romo. Tony Romo is probably the only one I think that will make people mad. Now, the honorable mention one that I know that, you know, I don't really want to give him any credit, but I think that he has so many weapons around him that he can't fall on his face. If he does, then let him go. Like point blank, I'm tired of it already, and that's Jay Cutler. He has Alshon Jeffrey. He also gets Kevin White now, the guy from West Virginia. He has two thoroughbreds on the outside right now. This is the Bears' fault by them letting go of Martellus Bennett. But for some reason, the Bears always find a legit tight end. No matter what situation they're in, they find a legit tight end to catch passes. So that's why I said honorable mention with Jay Cutler. But if he looks terrible again in this upcoming season, I know y'all put $100+ million in his boy pocket. Let him go. There is no tomorrow if Jay Cutler can't turn the corner, but that was an honorable mention. I feel like I went over. So the three quarterbacks I went with is Luck, Ryan, and Romo. Tommy, you're next if you have three quarterbacks.
The one quarterback you have, I actually have, and I'll tell you, it's Romo. And I'm going to tell you why. Because they got a running back, Morse. Watch and see this team don't shine. If everybody can stay healthy, I got Romo. Of course, I'm going to go with Cam. I was going to go Kaepernick, only if he was in Denver. But nobody knows yet what the whole thing with that this situation, if he going to Denver, is he staying in San Francisco? So I'm not going to go with him. The other one is Andy Dalton.
Interesting. Not mad at it at all. I'm just, look, this is one thing I'm worried about with Cam, especially the way that he looked in that Super Bowl now. I wonder if a lot of these defenses are going to pin their ears back and come after him. Rather him making passes, they keep an eight in the box and going after him. Because that, don't forget it, that is the way he walked away from press row at the Super Bowl. Everybody's mad at Cam. Oh, he walked away from the reporters and analysts and cameras, this, that, and the third, because he heard players behind him, a.k.a. Harris, talking about, man, we went after him. We wanted him to throw the ball. You're going to have to throw the ball to get the ring. I know Cam can throw the hell out the ball. I'm not going to lie. I'm a fan of a scrambling quarterback. My favorite quarterback one time was Randall Cunningham. I like to see a quarterback take off. But they know that this dude is 6'6", 250, 260. They got to tackle him. They got to tackle him. And if he can't make plays downfield, if they can't give him a weapon, I'm talking about a weapon to go to on the outside, they're going to continue to do that. If he's going to continue to look after Greg Olsen, which I know me and Tommy love that, but if it's just Greg Olsen and or bust, the question will still remain out on the Panthers. That's the one thing that I have, at least for the Panther situation. Andy Dalton, the Bengals, you know, it's up and down. And plus, they just get in, and I'm glad that you brought that up, too. I'm glad that you brought that up, too, Tommy. The Bengals just gave Marvin another year extension. How many one-year extensions are you going to give him? Like you have this year to pan out. If you don't pan out the way we like it, we'll do it again next year. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are they doing at Cincinnati? So I don't know. He lost a receiver in Marvin that, again, the Lions end up picking up as well. So I don't know. Nacho, your thoughts on at least the three quarterbacks that he threw out there, and then I guess your turn to throw out the three as well.
You know, the quarterbacks that you guys threw out there, I'm sure you stole a couple of mine in there. You know, there are two that you didn't mention, and going off the guys you mentioned, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the Cam Newtons and Colin Kaepernick in Denver, obviously. Or you know, something like that. There's a guy, though, because of the organization and because of the logo on his jersey, I think a lot of people are going to scoff and laugh at this, but Derek Carr and the Oakland Raiders, the team that they're putting up, the defense that they're stacking, and what we already know their offense can do, this could be a team that, no joke, if we see, come Super Bowl week, Derek Carr's 50-foot silhouette outside of the stadium, I don't think I'd be surprised. On paper, this team seems to be everything and more, and they're going in the right direction. So Derek Carr for me would be the guy that I would have to pick out of the three for me. It would be Derek Carr, Teddy Bridgewater, and then a guy that you guys didn't even bring up, but doesn't have very much postseason success, even though he's been in the league a long time. Carson Palmer. I think this Arizona Cardinals team also is one that will still have Super Bowl aspirations, still be contenders, and I think Carson Palmer might be trying to shake off what little bit of doubt he had or whatever might be going on. But that team in and of itself is a great team, and I think the situation and what the organizations are doing now for those guys, I think they really take fold. Another guy, I don't want to keep just adding guys to the list, but Alex Smith, I understand that we don't feel he's anything more than a game manager, but if there was ever a time for him to just let loose and take some risks, it would be now, and especially with Andy Reid. I think this would be something that, again, these are long shots, but their teams on paper, looking at what they put out there, take away the patch on the jersey of what their team name is and throw all you know, woes to the side. I think those guys are quarterbacks that I think could turn it around and could possibly headline the Super Bowl next year, besides all the, you know, the perennial favorites who you know, we could talk about. But outside of those guys, you know, Derek Carr, Alex Smith, and definitely Carson Palmer, those three, that's the three for me next year that I think could take the step forward and lead their team to a Super Bowl.
And I agree with the Carr. And if you all remember, I've got Oakland in the playoffs next season.
Mm-hmm.
I actually forgot about Carr out there in Oakland until you said something. I forgot about him. I agree with that.
Here's the thing that that bothers me with some of those. Now, one, I hate to be, you know, picking that straw here, but I have to. The Carson Palmer situation, I give Carson so much credit for all the work that he's done in his career, but it's just something about him in the later part of the season where he just loses everything. I don't know if it's his IQ or somebody gets to him and he just gets rattled and he gets the case of the quarterback happy feet. I don't know, but it's just something about Carson Palmer that it just remains to bother him year after year, even with the Arizona Cardinals team that was stellar this season. Their defense is clicking on all cylinders. Offense had it going on. Brown underneath, Fitzgerald being the elder statesman, and you got to worry about him. I mean, he won a playoff game off of a toss up 75 yards, you know, out in the flat, like, because everybody forgot that he was over there. Like, the next closest guy there was Clay Matthews. Like, come on, like, there's too many options for him to make this happen, and it's always something with Carson Palmer. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Now, the next team that Nacho threw out here, this one, I'm about to be critical on one. The other one was Derek Carr. This is the one thing I see with Derek Carr. I can't lie. Him coming out of college, I was a big Amari Cooper fan. Still an Amari Cooper fan. Crabtree's out there, too. They can make it happen on the outside. But can we see consistency with Derek Carr? That is the question. Because he'll have games and he looks crazy. And, like, I put out an interesting post of who has the stronger throw, stronger arm. Derek Carr was one of them on the run and hit T.Y. Hilton in the Pro Bowl on the run. But it was like, it's a Pro Bowl game, so it's not too much defense. But the throw is pure beauty. The throw is pure beauty. But can we see consistent football out of them? With them losing a captain in their defense like Chuck Woodson, Charles Woodson is no longer there in the outfield anymore. That safety position, we have to see if the void is filled quickly for it to happen. And the one that I'm going to be critical over, he already knows it, Alex Smith. No. Even with the Chiefs looking good this year, like, they came out the gate and they started that streak up, slapping the Lions around in London. Like I couldn't even believe it was him putting up a 40-burger on the Lions. Put it up on it. It looked like he was listening to Sports City this whole time. Like, I can't wait to play Thomas's team. Now, can you do it 2 years in a row? And I'm not even going to say win over 12 games. I don't even want to put that type of weight on your shoulders. Win 9 or 10. I want to see 9 or 10 wins on the board for the Chiefs. If you can't, then I don't know. Like, he's had one good season in San Francisco, one good season in Kansas City. I mean, they made the postseason a season before this one also, but as soon as he got there, you know, they got a high score total and then ended up losing the game, 45-44 to the Colts. I still remember that game. It was like, where did you go? Was it all Jamal Charles? Once Jamal Charles left, you go to part two? These are the things that I hold in front of Alex Smith. You've been in the league for quite some time, and there's still questions around not only you, but also Carson Palmer as well. So I kind of got to pair these two together, if you will.
I think the only thing I will argue with or come against you with, so I have a donut, is I understand the C. Woods, but you take away C. Woods and you replace him on the linebacking core with Bruce Irvin. Now you've got Bruce Irvin and you have Khalil Mack I think that kind of makes up for it for me. So that would be the only argument I'd have for that. But again, the Kansas City Chiefs, that's a way out there, I know. But to me, I wouldn't be surprised if I see them in the Super Bowl.
Carr might be the best quarterback in the West, in the AFC West.
I don't know. I'm a Rivers fan. I give Rivers a heads up over Carr right now.
Alex Smith. I mean, Denver doesn't even have a quarterback on the roster, do they?
They got Panthers. They got Mark.
Right. I mean, Carr's better than he is. So Carr might
right.
be one of the best quarterbacks in the West. I mean, Oakland.
Right. Now, I agree with that. I agree with that. Not saying that he's the best. Even though Rivers, you know, it's just something that falls apart with the Chargers. I give Rivers a leg up now that Peyton's gone. Peyton's gone. This is Rivers' division to lose. Especially with them giving him that extension last year, that contract, what was it, 84? And Eli ended up getting 88, something like that, like how that contract extension went down. So he has to go out there and earn that money with his, what, 8 or 11 kids. So he got to get it done. There's no Peyton in his way. Of course, he's going to face tough defenses in the AFC West. But right now, I still give the leg up to Rivers because he's consistent in putting up the numbers. But the win total has not been there for the Chargers. That's what keeps them close together in the carousel of all of these quarterbacks in the West. But, you know, the Raiders situation, the Chiefs, I'm not going to lie, out of all the divisions, the West is completely up for grabs. Completely up for grabs. Denver, you know, they're the head honcho because they won the Super Bowl. Their defense is still there. But with them losing Peyton Manning and Osweiler, can Sanchez get an 8-8 season? That's the question I have. Can he go 500? You know what I'm saying? While he's sitting on the bench, really. You know what I'm saying? So it's up in the air.
I might give my chances more in my Oakland pick making the playoffs.
Since we've already
got that again?
Teams deep. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Tommy.
I'm liking my pick of saying that Oakland's going to make the playoffs more and more with the way that West is looking.
Okay, no problem. I'll revisit that after Nacho say what you got to say. Nacho, what you say?
I said, since we already went halfway deep, I mean, and you already talk about, you know, since Peyton's gone, isn't that really what the whole AFC quarterback situation is? I mean, talk about maybe Big Ben, but those other four conferences, other three divisions, so it's Tom Brady and then Phillip Rivers. Who would you do? So you're going to take Big Ben, Andrew Luck? That's the question now. So, you know, so Phillip Rivers is the third best quarterback in the AFC then if you're going to take Big Ben. I mean, that's the question. Is that what you're saying?
You got Flacco, you got Dalton, and you got Rivers.
All behind Big Ben and Tom Brady. So you probably put them in fifth or sixth in the conference, about middle of the conference quarterback.
He's in the top six with Luck. You got to throw Luck in there as well. And that's who I thought was going to come off last year, but then he got injured. But with the weapon that he had around him, I thought that was a can't miss with T.Y. Hilton and Phillip Dorsett. I didn't know what happened to Andre Johnson. It hurt my heart to watch Andre fall apart. I damn near cried watching Andre play like that last year. But you still got to consider Luck. You know, that mobile, they're throwing the ball. So I say top six. So the top six would be Brady, Dalton, Big Ben, doggone Luck, Rivers. I'm missing one. Oh, Flacco. Flacco's the six. So that at least my top six.
Really?
AMC.
Flacco's at least in the top five.
I said top six. That's no specific order. Look at you already trying to start a Baltimore fight. Leave that alone. I'm not trying to fight with you. I'm not trying to fight with you.
Flacco has a Super Bowl. What the hell has Rivers got? No,
that doesn't make him better.
Right. And let's be honest, Tommy. Can he get
one
of
his playoff records? Look at his playoff records compared to Rivers.
Hold on. Let's be honest. Do you think Flacco will get another one without Ray and Ed?
Yes.
Wow. Is this a homer or is this analytically? Are you speaking as being a homer or are you speaking analytically that the Ravens could win another Super Bowl?
I really think they could. They'll have more of a chance than Rivers got in San Diego.
Okay. Give me reasons on how you see the Ravens being, let's just say AFC Championship. Don't even put Super Bowl out there to get them through an AFC Championship. Hell, let me do it even better. How they could be a top two team in that division? How could the Ravens be a top two team in the division? They got the Bengals and the Steelers in front of them.
And the Steelers will be healthy.
We've beaten Pittsburgh the last couple years. I mean, hell, Pittsburgh couldn't even beat a backup quarterback when our team was beat up. So I ain't even worried about them bums up there in that dirty-ass city. The hell with them. We own them bitches.
Okay.
The only team we can't seem to have problems with is Cincinnati.
What was your record last year? Y'all finished what, 5-11 or 6-10?
Good question. I'm not sure. I know we swept Pittsburgh.
Okay, they finished 5-11. Okay, how big of a plus minus? I would say plus, because they'd have to improve. So they'd have to win to be in the division at least 5 games better than what they did last year. And you still have the question now: is at least your receiving core? Because you're not going to see the same Steve Smith. As much as I love Steve Smith, that's a torn Achilles. And this is his last season. I don't know how much blast he has in them legs still. You know what I'm saying? And does he still have a go-to tight end? Because let's be real, ever since Pitta left, like, there hasn't really been strong consistency at the tight end position for this Baltimore team. So, no Torrey Smith, Steve Smith on his last leg. Is Baltimore the team in the next 3 years? I don't even want to put it in front of him this season to get to the Super Bowl.
Who's the running back? You got no running backs either over there? I mean,
they just picked up a running back. Hold on. Who they just picked up? They also got 4 as well. But they just picked up a running back. Oh, it escapes my mind. Oh, my goodness. Oh, who did they just pick up, man? That's going to bother me. Okay, you can continue going. They also got – they just pulled in Mike Wallace, so they do have a speedster on the outside as well.
Yeah, C. Smith. You got Wallace. I believe we're bringing back Akins at wide receiver. Tight end wise, we're not bad. Gilmore and who that? Nobody knows what's going on with Pitta. I mean, as far as I've heard, all the rumor reports are Pitta's coming back.
You also picked up Ben Watson, the former Patriot too. But if he still had that burst as well and his speed as well, that's something that we have to see. But it's interesting offseason right now.
Offensively, I think we'll be fine. Our problem is corner and safety. If we work on that in this coming draft, we'll be all right.
This has been the warehouse for Baltimore. The defense has carried them. The defense is carrying them. If your question is there right now, how safe can it get? And the injuries that lurk for the team, and what happens with Suggs also, like these situations are still out there to be addressed for this Baltimore team. But like I said, this is all speculation. Everybody's opinion is great. Like nobody's opinion is wrong, but they have a better shot at the Super Bowl than the Steelers. Ew, man, this is tough. That's tough stuff. I mean, look, I had it in no specific order. I just said at least top six. And I do have, like, honorable mention quarterbacks in the AFC. And people may get mad, but, I think in time, not now, but I think Mariota and Bortles will start to make a name for themselves because me being a homer, yeah, I'm going to be a homer. Allen Hurns is a monster, okay? I want y'all to know that right now. Allen Hurns is a monster. That's right. That's all I'm going to say right there on that. If him and Bortles continue to have that connection, that's going to be like, I can't consider him Montana Rice, but, that's going to be that tandem. That's going to be Bortles or Hurns. Believe me, you heard it here first, Sports City. You heard it here first. But that's honorable mention, at least, quarterback of the AFC. I don't know.
Hey, Jacksonville could be good. Jacksonville's a dangerous team.
Right. I'm not saying, like, they can be now, but I don't want to say now. I want to say, like, 2 to 4 years. You know, they can.
I mean,
they can.
Hearn, Reed, Robinson.
What'd you say, Nacho?
I was saying, I know the Jaguars are good. I know we were in the AFC North. We spent a lot of time on three teams. Are we going to discuss the fact that Cleveland is now willing to trade that number two pick and draft a quarterback in the second round? Do we think something crazy could happen in that top five, or is this all conjecture?
If Cleveland goes after a quarterback, then what the hell were they thinking going after RG3?
There's reports that Mel Kiper's got him moving up in the draft and taking the quarterback out of California. That's Goff.
They're number two, so there's really nowhere. I mean, to be honest, I mean, we're looking at the number one pick is Tennessee, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
They're not drafting a quarterback.
Get out of there.
Yeah, they're not drafting a quarterback. So they're probably going to take someone like Miles Jack or even a Joe Bosa, you know, who knows. But, you know, Cleveland's in a perfect spot to draft a quarterback directly where they're at. What they're saying is they're willing to trade the number two pick in this year's draft, and then in the second round, which would be somewhere around 33, then they'll draft a quarterback. My question is, who is going to be willing to pay the amount to move up to two, and what player in God's green earth would anyone want to trade up to two for?
If it is going down that way, there's no need for them to move at all. Like this, there's no need for them to move at all. So that's how I feel about it. But like I said, this should be a situation where Cleveland needs to focus on the remainder of that team right now. They need to focus on that whole team, not at the quarterback position. RG3 is young. Like, he's young enough to at least get you 5 to 7 seasons, at least. At least. You're going to pull in another rookie to watch him pan out and still go through a situation of you rebuilding and working out the kinks. It's not like Goff is going to come out there or my man Paxton comes in to the situation and turns the team around. That's going to be all, you know, we're under the bridge type of season. Like at least you get RG3 that has been to the postseason. I don't really want to say postseason experience. What it is, postseason experience, but his leg was gone. He couldn't really make things happen up against Seattle in that one, but I don't know. That's just me. If you guys feel that they should go after a quarterback first round, I mean, things differ for me. I think Cleveland needs to focus outside than right there at the quarterback position. That's me.
Well, there's report that Baltimore's trading there. They don't want that sixth pick. They're trying to move that out of.
This is going to be a draft where the incompetent head, front offices, however you want to call them, we're going to see those guys pay extremely amount for multiple picks to move up and pick a guy they feel can lead their team to the promised land. And we're going to see teams pick up multiple draft picks and stock up. This is a deep draft. This is quintessentially one of the deepest drafts on defense, on the defensive line, even at cornerback. And there's just a lot of players that are going to be quality starters in this league. But, like, I feel the first round is dedicated for perennial all-stars or people that you want to take a chance on that could be that guy. There isn't very many of those, maybe one or two, you know, five at most in this whole draft. So this is going to be the draft where we see the smart front offices load up on back-end draft picks, stock up, and make their teams that much better while some teams, what I would say, waste away the future on, you know, a hit-or-miss pick in the early first round.
Well, Baltimore had the two boys from Ohio State in a couple of days ago, the defensive end and the running back, Elliott and Bosa. I don't want either one of them.
Bosa to Baltimore, that would be interesting. That young boy is a problem. He is a problem. But I don't know, like I said, I got to wait to see if he can transition into the pro game because it was different for him being that Ohio State bully and a lot of those tackles, you know, in college. If he could use his speed to get around some of these big boys or strength in certain situations to basically bull rush some of these tackles to get his game going, that would be a plus. But I don't know. I don't know if Bosa's ready to hit the ground running, if you will. Because, like I said, there's been defensive ends come out of college and have not panned out to be the guy that they were while they were in college.
I want Zach Lawson out of Clemson because I'm telling you, I do not see Suggs back in Baltimore this season. I don't know what he's waiting on retiring, but he's lost a step. And I hate to say that because I'm a big Sizzle fan.
Okay. Where do we go from here? Because this is a quarterback discussion that got us in the AFC North. I was going to say West. But we were in the AFC West, but it got us all the way out here in the AFC North. So,
I mean, we can't pick up the NFC quarterbacks now. I mean, we did the AFC quarterbacks. You can run down a quick NFC if you want.
Well, no, this is the thing. The NFC that I had, I said Romo or Matty Ice. And our honorable mention was Jay Cutler, but I'm like scared that I said that on air. like I'm scared. Everybody in here that be like, "Yeah, you said who?" And the reason why, because he has weapons. I don't understand how Jay Cutler doesn't resonate, you know, season by season with the pieces that he's had consistently, season after season. He has Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall. You get rid of Brandon Marshall. Even though Kevin White was out, you still had Alshon Jeffrey, some guys that can make a difference. Martellus Bennett in the middle of the field, and they still were under 500. Still not making, you know, any bells ring in the NFC North. And he's still collecting a $100 million contract. Still. That's why I'm like, this is Cutler a bust season. If Cutler, look, Sports City, and I hate to be brutal like this. I hate to. If Cutler don't finish better than 9-7, Chicago do something. He is not the guy for tomorrow. If he does not finish this season, I'll give him some leeway. I'll give him some leeway because this has happened a couple of seasons in a row. If he stays healthy and finishes the season less than 9-7, they have to do something. Because every season you get Cutler to sit out with a jammed up thumb or something's hurting on him. You know, we remember back to the NFC Championship game, and he was all supposedly busted up, and I tore him up on that one because I felt some type of way about that. But he's not the guy if he can't finish 9-7, put Chicago in a playoff position with the receivers that he has right now. You already got Forte out the door. There's no more Matt Forte. Like, I want to see how he look at the running back position now. There's a lot that I have to see. I want to see if Chicago made the right move by getting rid of number 22. And if Cutler can actually help the team at least finish 9-7 or get them to a postseason.
I've got a question. Either one of you all were Kaepernick, would you take that pay cut to go to a better team in Denver like they want him to do?
It's tough.
I think
it's tough. But didn't it get finalized after that certain date that, you know, somebody, San Fran had to eat it or whoever ends up dealing with them has to work out the contract. So, wow. I don't know.
My problem with the whole go ahead.
This is why I want to say that, because there's no Vernon Davis at the tight end position right now. They are going to have Owen Daniels there. They still got DT. So we have receivers on the outside that make some things happen. You know what I'm saying? Emmanuel Sanders is still there also. But, you know, the consistency of Kaepernick, I mean, he was great with Harbaugh. Didn't anybody worry about that? And this is the one thing that I challenged out of Jaworski. That's right, Jaws, I'm calling you out. When Kaepernick had those seasons where San Fran could be, you know, nobody could stop him, he was saying Kaepernick is going to be the best quarterback ever. Yeah, the same thing I said, too. Everybody went quiet. I went quiet, too. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, what were you thinking? So, can he get back into that type of conversation of being a great quarterback? I don't want to say the best ever, like Jaworski said, but I don't know. Especially with you know, coming back from them winning the Super Bowl, and if you don't finish above 8-8, everybody's looking at, well, why did they go after him? You know what I'm saying? So, that's one thing I'm looking at with Kaepernick. You know, other quarterbacks in the NFC, you can't forget about Russell Wilson, but he's got a championship, so that excludes him. You also have, what's the guy's name? Jameis Winston, with the receiver that he has on the outside. He has horses out there. So, and knowing that he tries to be careful with the ball, and he still has that young man jitters, but he actually turned the season around late for Tampa. That's another quarterback that you got to worry about also. Mm-hmm. But your thoughts?
They have a running back, too, Doug Martin.
Oh, God, the muscle monster. and Muscle Miles. Yeah. I mean, and he hasn't stayed healthy too. He hasn't stayed on the field. He hasn't stayed on the field too. He hasn't stayed on the field with Tampa Bay.
Yeah, he hasn't been healthy the entirety of the time, but we all know what that monster, the monster hamster can do. The problem with, you know, the Colin Kaepernick question, it's like both sides are in the right and wrong, however you want to look at it. Here's how I look at it. If you really wanted Colin Kaepernick, you made something done. You would have made sure you got something done before April 1st. That's point blank, simple period. You make something happen. I don't care what San Francisco is talking about. If they're talking about something, some money or whatever, if you really feel like you wanted him, you make it done before April 1st, and you make sure you don't have to pay him that allotted money that he's going to be guaranteed. Now, once April 1st rolls around, I don't blame Colin Kaepernick, dude, as it pertains to him standing his ground, not taking the pay cut. Man, you had up until April 1st. If you want to count it, you had from the day after the Super Bowl till April 1st to get something done with my team to get me over there, and I couldn't do anything. I couldn't hold out. I could not have to take a pay cut. You could have made something happen. Now I'm going to make my money regardless if I'm here or if I'm with you. I stand with Colin Kaepernick on that. You want to lollygag, you want to twiddle your thumbs as an organization, you want to sit there and take all the praise and everything from the NFL networks and the ESPNs, John Elway, and then you don't get anything done for your quarterback position but Mark Sanchez, and you were too arrogant or egotistical or whatever it was to pull the trigger early on Colin Kaepernick. Now you're trying to make him take a pay cut. See, a good GM would have had Colin Kaepernick, Mark Sanchez, and possibly one other quarterback in the door by now, and competing for this starting quarterback job and moving on with this. But John Elway is going to sit and take the praise, and now he's sitting there with butt fumble as a starting quarterback moving into the season. So, with Colin Kaepernick, he's got to sit there and take his money. To me, if he goes, and this is where it gets on the field, for me in San Francisco, we already see the team that's laid out there. It's going to be bad. When he goes to Denver, the transition isn't going to be easy. A Gary Kubiak offense isn't going to be easy for him to get, and it's not going to be a smooth transition to another team that I believe on the field for him. Now, obviously, in the locker room, I think he'll get along with the players. That's not an issue for me. The on-the-field stuff, X's and O's stuff, I think that's a problem. So I don't think there's going to be an instantaneous winning as it pertains to the offense. Now, when we talk about that, the good thing is Denver's defense is still going to be legit. They are missing a couple pieces, but they're still going to be good. So Colin Kaepernick needs to understand John Elway needs to understand that he's going to have to pay Colin the entirety of what he's guaranteed in order for him to come there. And I'm fully behind Colin. You've had over a month and a half to 2 months to get me onto a contract that was friendly to your team, and you failed to do it. My contract's guaranteed. You live with it. And I think that's what he's telling John Elway and the 49ers.
Okay. Well, any other quarterbacks in the NFC that we need to be concerned about, at least without a Super Bowl on their, you know, resume or a ring on their finger, if you will, before we get away from it?
Ty, I don't want to put a jinx on because I seem to have a problem jinxing your teams, but Matthew Stafford, if they could get some weapons in Detroit, I mean, I'd watch out for Matthew Stafford.
Man, listen, don't even get me to start talking about him, man, because I'll go crazy on this air. man. You just sat up here and watched Calvin's whole career go by, and now there's no more Calvin Johnson, and you go after Marvin Jones and think that's the fill-in. Listen, I know that the GMs, Quinn won't air me. There's a guy, right? He broke his wrist. He broke his wrist, but he should be fine by now. His name is Joshua Doctrine. I hope you're out there listening. Please listen to me. Please, if you do anything, please.
Marshall University.
No. TCU. Joshua Doctrine. He's a horned frog. This is a guy that Nacho knows so well because Nacho didn't believe in them boys. He didn't believe in them boys. but they had to take care of Bill. I told him. I had to tell him something. Okay, now he's 6'4", and he's physical, and he could jump. Like, he got hops, and this is the one part that I love, right? Because, you know, I'm a football aficionado, and, I'm a Madden guy. And listening to John Madden, he says, and everybody knows this in sports and football especially, speed kills. Speed kills. This boy has track speed. All four of those receivers ran track. So, look. If you want a feeling, it ain't Marvin Jones. Let Marvin Jones work underneath him and Golden Tate do what they need to do. Go get Joshua Doctson. And it's not like you're missing Calvin that much. Of course you're going to miss Calvin Johnson. I'm not going to say that this is the feeling to make you forget about 81. Oh, hell no. I already know right from wrong. Look, we're going to miss this dude. And they already got Barry on the job. They got Barry Sanders trying to talk Calvin out of retirement. So, hopefully Barry do something, but it's like how you get one person to leave Detroit to talk to the next person that left Detroit. So I don't get it. But
those receiver had a Baylor too.
Oh God, what's my man name?
Kurt Coleman.
That's my mind.
Kurt Coleman. Yeah, that boy, he got blazing speed, but he's shorter. He's like, you know, 6 feet. You know what I'm saying? So if he step to step with the corner, like he gonna have to do something right with. But he got blazing speed too. But at least I feel better with a receiver on the outside that has height.
You want a receiver with height. You ready for this name? Rashard Scott.
No. I don't want to terrorize my board. Let him do what he needs to do throughout the league, man. I don't want him in Detroit. So I got my sights set on number 9, Joshua Doctson, All-American, that can go make it happen. Like, I think he's probably the one receiver that's going to come out of college football and not miss a beat. I think he's going to look, I don't know if he'll have the same numbers, but he's going to look similar to what Amari Cooper did when Amari Cooper senior year while he was in Alabama and came to the Raiders, and everybody's like, what the hell is this guy on? Like, this guy's playing monster football, so I think that's how it's going to finish. Well, if Joshua can get to the right team, I'm hoping that he can get to Detroit. And the reason why I'm saying that is because, you know, those plays where Stafford don't got nowhere to go, and he would just lay one up for Calvin to make a play. At least Doctson has that size and speed and jumping ability to make that actually happen. Not to say that he's going to come down with it, but at least that's an option for him to go to. You got a bunch of guys that are literally close to the same height. I don't want to see Stafford sitting back there taking sacks like he's already taking right now. So that's the one thing that I'm concerned about. But they're already saying Detroit is so focused on going after a defensive tackle, it's like a lost cause right now. Like, I don't know. That's why I left Stafford alone. My heart is too tied into this damn team. If they go somewhere else, if they pick something else outside of the receiver, without getting a notable home run hitter at the receiver core, and Stafford gets these guys to a postseason or better, I'm apologizing on air. I probably apologize to the state. I probably have to go to Detroit and apologize, but I already seen how much damage he was doing with Calvin there. Like, they have to get somebody to fill those shoes or to attempt to do that. I don't think Marvin Jones is that guy right now. Okay. Any other quarterback that you guys would like to throw out there or anywhere, and any other twist, any NFL that you guys would like to throw out there before we get away from it?
Just one more twist in the NFL since we're on the NFC and you start talking about D tackles. The rumor or whatever that turned down a $60+ million guarantee contract from the Eagles. What would possess a man to turn that down? Is it the fact that he doesn't believe in Sam Bradford, or does he really think he's worth more than that?
Wait, who is the quarterback?
It's the Eagles. Is it not Sam Bradford and the Eagles?
Okay, Bradford's in Philly, and he turned down 60, you said?
60+ million. The Eagles, yeah, Fletcher Cox. The 94 WIP is reporting that he's turned down a $60+ million guarantee contract from the Eagles. My question is, why would you do that? And is it a real concern about how you feel the team and the direction it's going? Or is this something where we're seeing an agent trying to get more or whatever? Because it also indicates that he's saying he's letting the agent dictate. You know, wow. That's all I got to say to that.
Tommy, how do you feel about that, Tommy?
I mean, he wasn't happy all year, if you remember, this past season. Didn't he go – wasn't he one of the players that went off during the sideline and then went off in the media? I mean, it wouldn't make – he wasn't happy in Philadelphia from the start, I don't think.
I don't think Bradford went off on the sideline. I think he had his teammate going off on him on the sideline at DeMarco Murray when he was acting up during the game. But I don't think Bradford went off on the sideline at all, though. But I do agree with Nacho that these agents feel like when they hear something that if they're already getting it from the team that they're with, that they can do better out there throughout the league, which they can end up running their quarterbacks into some trouble if a lot of these you know, organizations say, you know what, nah, you're not worth that. The IE, look at the situation that's in front of Fitzpatrick right now. If Fitzpatrick can't get that 18 a year, it's like, well, what the hell were you thinking? And I don't think he's a $18 million a year quarterback. I don't. Mm-hmm. But
the problem with the agent is the agent is a representative of multiple D tackles in the league, and if he can get Fletcher Cox to the most money he could possibly get, that helps him with his future contracts with other DTs. That's the problem here. He's looking more towards everyone else than he is just one client and getting this out of the way and then moving on to the next one. It's too all about me and what I can get more from these other players down the line. That's my problem with the whole situation. You know, and Fletcher Cox is sitting there, you know, probably having to listen to this now. And seeing and hearing this on the radio, and who knows? Who knows if he heard about it or if he didn't? But the problem is these agents are more concerned about getting the next man money so they can get more money.
Okay. Caller number 917-889-9592. 10 minutes left into the show. The situation with the one I said before the show started, what raised my eyebrow about the Will Smith situation was not only they said that he cut his killer off and may have rear-ended him, but more news to the situation, Will Smith had a loaded handgun in the car, and these two knew each other. So who's to say that there wasn't more to this story than what we're getting right now, which I don't think that I'm actually trying to play the good guy role in this. I don't think that he intended on stirring up some type of mischief with the guy. But, I mean, now that there's more of a storyline to this, I mean, it is just sad that there is more of a storyline now. Like, if this guy was actually egged on to make some type of critical decision like this, why you got the honey badger Tyrann Mathieu, who knows the guy personally and, you know, called him all types of names, so on and so forth. I did want to kind of throw that one out there with the Will Smith situation, that there is more to this story as time progresses. I want to see how you guys felt about this. You know, they're trying to quote that Will Smith might not be too innocent in this situation after all.
What's the whole now? When I've watched the video and they've shown that Will Smith was following him. Now, again, this is a I don't know the neighborhood. I don't know the layout. I don't know if this is a popular route that everyone goes down. And if you're so happy to be in that, you know, vicinity, you're just going to end up following someone for multiple, you know, ways. I don't know that road in particular, but I show him being the alleged Cardale Jones, the alleged murderer, killer, being followed by Will Smith. Then after an abrupt stop, it appears that he was bumped. You can't tell from the video. I've watched it probably 100 times since this morning. I can't physically see because of the graininess if he really hit him or if he saw that he was coming up close and let go of the brake to move up a little forward. I don't know what was really going on. Again, there was nobody in front of Cardale Jones that I saw make an abrupt stop for him to have to stop. It didn't seem as if anyone jumped out in front of him. So was he brake checking him? Why are you following me type of situation? The problem I have with it is, again, the loaded weapon that was never fired, but we don't know if it was pointed. We don't know if it was threatened in use. Again, this is all coming out very little by little to all of our knowledge. So when we come out and speak about this, as it's happening, it's hard for us to get a full grasp on everything without full knowledge of the situation. As this comes out more to light, as technology is caught up with the situation, and we have, you know, cameras around the city that were able to catch these two in the altercation of the first, you know, rear ending to the second rear ending, it's really hard to, you know, say what's going on. The only thing that I can really pull from this situation that I know for a fact and understand is that someone is no longer living. There is a man who was taken away from his wife and subsequent family and future family because of an act of another man. Regardless of the situation I feel beforehand or afterhand, no life is worth taking, especially for rear-ending a vehicle or threats made verbally. You should not take another man's life just for that. To me, I just don't see any solution in that. So that's the one thing I can take away. Let the punishment fit the crime however they see fit. But another man's life is gone, and we can't bring him back, no matter how much or how truthful we get about the story. I think that's the main thing I'll take away is that Will Smith is gone, and there's nothing that Cardale Jones, that New Orleans, me, you, or anyone on this earth can do about it, and that's just a sad situation about it.
Tommy, anything else that you'd like to add toward the situation around new stuff that's coming out around the story with Will Smith's murder?
Nah, not much.
Okay, well, if you guys don't have anything left, we could actually get closed out. Do you guys have any other topic that you guys would like to address before we close out?
No topic. I don't think it's a huge topic. We probably won't spend any time on it, but being as we are what I would consider one of the first people to break this news when it came out, I'm actually very excited about this because I was one of the first people to let all my New York Giants fans know about this news before any other news outlet. I sounded really smart thanks to Ty and his connection. So JPP has a video, or I don't know if it's a documentary out, explaining the cause or the happenings of his firework incident. I know we make jokes about what happened and why was he doing it, but the fact of the matter is faulty fireworks are, you know, the cause of multiple limbs being missing and things of that nature year in and year out, New Year's, 4th of July, birthday parties, Christmas, Thanksgiving. I'm sure we've heard them all. So, you know, just, you know, if you want to take a look at that and see that you don't have to be, you know, someone who, if you listen to the story, the event, the actual blowing up of the hand didn't happen until the end of the night, the end of the sequence. So he had blown multiple fireworks in his hand, set off multiple on tables throughout the night. So it doesn't have to be the first one. It could be the last one you try to light. Always be careful with the fireworks, and if you got a chance, take a look at it because it is educational, and it shows you fireworks are no joke, and they're nothing to play with. Always be safe and be careful.
And they actually are, you know, showing more footage of the pictures of how his fingers looked at that given time. But I'm not even going to lie, like, I'm getting chills. Like, I could not imagine my fingers like that. Like I leave that for the pyromaniacs, guys that like to get involved with that. I got a bunch of buddies 4th of July that set up and do the big fireworks show. I'm talking about the fireworks that you see for your city's fireworks show. Like, I got buddies that do that, light the sky up for real, like for at least 30 minutes straight, like, at least. I don't even get near the table where they at. I stay far away from that stuff. And, you know, Jason had a U-Haul truck filled, so I can just imagine he probably been like this guy for like an hour straight. And, you know, the unfortunate happened, man. And, you know, thanks to the connection that I got, and I got the story out there first before everybody, before Schefter, before Espen, before Foxy. I got it before everybody. So, and it's just tough to see people try to break your story or break the news. And I know JPP personally. He had the interview here in Sports City with us when they won their second Super Bowl in 2011. So I don't even like digging into that. I don't even like when people post pictures about it because I know them. You know what I'm saying? But it is tough, man, and just hearing about the scenario of how he has pictures and how he seen ligaments, tendons, I'm disgusted. Like I'm not disgusted because it happened. I'm just disgusted because I can just imagine somebody's hand like that in front of us. You know what I mean? Like, that's just me. Tommy, anything else you got left?
Not much. I just couldn't. And now I got it on an app, and they showed where it was pictures and just where, I couldn't imagine sitting there seeing my ligaments and tendons and bone and just everything. And that was just, I'd have flipped.
No, the first thing I did, I forget flipping. I would have passed out. They'd have to tell me, now your fingers are gone. Look like that. I don't want to look. I don't know. No. I don't even know how. And he's playing football, like, that's a man, Gina. That is a man, Gina. Like, what? Oh, my goodness. Okay, we're going to get plugged and closed off from the two of you before we get out of here. I'll start with you first, Mr. Silva. I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the cookout.
Another helicopter overhead again, guys. Sorry. The Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Great show again, guys. We won't. If I'm not mistaken, we won't have a regular show baseball tomorrow. So I'm going for the Warriors to break the streak. I think they will get 73 on Wednesday. I think it is tomorrow, correct? I believe they do play tomorrow against the Grizzlies and
yeah.
The Lakers and Kobe. I hope he plays as many minutes as possible, goes 0 for 20, has 0 points, 0 assists, and 0 everything. And sits on the bench with his ankles and everything wrapped up. Good riddance. And I do believe that the Warriors 73 clinched the best record ever in an NBA season on Wednesday. Again, thank you so much for letting me come in, Ty. Tommy, great show. Loved all the football talk. Can't wait for us to get into this draft talk here in the next couple weeks.
Okay. I'll get into that when I get my closeout going. Tommy, plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the cookout.
Yeah, to bounce off of what Nacho says, I won't be watching the Warriors. I could give a damn about it. I will be praising and giving my thanks to Kobe B. Bryant. I hope he has an excellent game. I actually hope the Lakers win. Sorry, Utah. You blew your shot last night when you had a chance to pretty much wrap up the AC. I hope you lose. Houston, don't goof it up and get in there. Goodbye, Kobe B. Bryant. I hope you have a nice life. Thank you for everything you've done for the game.
All right. Before I get into that situation, here goes me in both scenarios. One, I hope Golden State win, not just because they're going to break the record. I want them to beat Memphis just because I'm a Thunder fan, and I don't want to bump into Portland out the gate because I feel like Damian Lillard is up to something special with what he got right now. At least I feel like we got a one last blast at the Memphis Grizzlies without Mark Gasol, even though I don't want to paint no pictures and end up jacing my boys right here in the kitchen. But either way, I'd rather see that done. 73-9 is still great. 72-10 is even better, in which I don't know which way Steve Kerr goes. If he rests these guys or let them get out to like a 30-point lead and say, you know what, now y'all can sit down, that's the interesting situation. But regardless of the situation, I can't wait to see it go down now. I know Nacho wants to be mean and rude and call out Kobe, and I'm just like him. Let me go back. Like 99 till about like 2011, 2012. Nah, Kobe was number one on my list, public enemy number one. Like, picture on a dartboard, like I would throw darts at him if I had a chance to see him or something. Like I could not stand Kobe Bryant. This is swagger. And then the little situation with him and Shaq, and, you know, then he tried to call Shaq out, you know, with the situation they have with him in Colorado, all the stuff they have with Kobe Bryant. But you know what, Kobe? I'm in my mid-30s. You've been a part of my life for 20 years, dog. As much as I did not like you playing basketball, I know that you have been more than half of my life watching you play ball in purple and gold. So go out there. This is one request that I said personally on my page. I tagged into it and all that. First and foremost, I hope Kobe goes out there and plays with the number 8 jersey. I hope he puts on the number 8. No 24. Switch him up right now. Make sure that he plays with the number 8. 2, 48 minutes. I don't care if you're tired. You play, you dog tired. Up there, hands on your knees, looking at them like you need a timeout. Go get a timeout if you need to. Drink some water or Gatorade or Powerade, whatever y'all drinking on the sideline. Drink it. Nobody's going to see you play ball again. I really hope you give him 148, but the way that you've been icing your shoulder down and icing your knees, really looking like you're really gassed out, so on and so forth. But go ahead and give him hell. But this is the one main memory that I do have of Kobe Bryant that always made me have this side in an argument against Kobe Bryant. His rookie season in 96, they made the playoffs. In the first round, they played the Utah Jazz. And this is when they played 5-game series. It was game 5. The Lakers were down 2 or 3. I think they were down 3. Kobe gets the ball at the top of the key because he wanted to take the shot. Shot an air ball. Came down, the Jazz missed the shot. Kobe gets the ball again. Going coast to coast, stopped at the top of the key. Nobody in front of him, shot an air ball. Did the same thing, Utah, for the third time. Misses the shot. Go down court. Kobe gets the ball. Gets to the top of the key. Same shot, same spot. Air ball. Fourth time down the court. The same thing happens. Utah misses. Kobe gets the ball again at the top of the key. Air ball. He shot 4 straight 3s, air balls. And that was like the start of Kobe's career. And ever since then, he did not look back. He terrorized the NBA. And I think that is what made him. Right there, that situation up against Utah. But him trying to shoot his way back in, knowing all the hard work that he put in there. And I know I'm just, in my heart, competitive nature, I'm just like Nacho. I used to terrorize my Sonics at that given time. At one point, we had nobody to guard him. We had Desmond Mason D'ing him. No Ray Allen, even though Ray Allen can't even D him either. But we had Desmond Mason, the slam dunk champion. Like couldn't D him with Kobe. Kobe shot 12 threes in Desmond Mason's face. 12 threes, NBA record. Like that's why I'm mad at Kobe. But nah, Kobe, go do what you got to do, man. I really hope you play 48 minutes. I really do. I really hope you give it all 48 minutes, man. Because this is your last. It ain't like y'all fighting for a playoff spot. Y'all got 65 lost. Byron Scott, you should never coach again. Byron Scott, I'm mad that you're making millions of dollars coaching. Like, you make millions of dollars. I can lose 65 games as a head coach. You can pay me $2 million a year. I swear. Like, I will mind my business. I will do whatever you want me to do. If he can lose 65 games and still keep a job, he ain't getting fired. Hey, I'll try it. Sports Media, I can do this for hours. I love basketball. I love football. I love baseball. I love whatever, man. If you're out there and you're an athlete, you're doing what you need to do, I respect your hustle, man. Go out there and do it. Kobe, Mr. 81, hang him up, man. Been balling since 96. I still don't like you. I still don't like you, but I respect what you did for me, man. So
I want to ask you if you could just imagine something.
Yeah.
Let's think about it. Charlotte wouldn't have traded him, and he could have played his whole career in Charlotte.
You want to know what would have been crazy about that? It would have been him. He started, too, because when he came to the Lakers, his first season, he didn't start. Kobe was coming off of the bench. He sat behind Eddie Jones. People probably don't remember Eddie Jones, but Eddie Jones was a monster.
Yep.
I love Eddie. Now, he probably would have started, and he would have been with David Wesley and Jamal Mashburn. Just picture that. And then when David Wesley got out of the game or tired or whatever, like 2 or 3 years later, Baron Davis came into the league. So just picture Baron, Kobe, Jamal Mashburn, Jamal McGlory, Jesus, P.J. Brown, crazy. That would have been crazy. But I know Jerry West is happy they made that happen in trading Vlade Divac to Charlotte for Kobe because, look, 33,000-plus points later, That's what they ended up having happen in L.A. I don't even like it. He's going to get his statue real soon. I know that. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blog, the chefs. We'll be back here tomorrow. Like I said, I'm going to live on both games. Golden State. And, oh, here's another thing. Golden State and the Lakers game. Here's another side note in both of these games. The tickets for a Golden State Warrior game, they're averaging $550 to see one damn basketball game play. Listen, I better be everybody sneakers. Everybody better sign my shoes when I walk out of the Oracle. That's right. Yeah, listen, from Steph to Steve Kerr, all of y'all better sign my shoes, and I better be able to walk home barefoot on like grass. You hear me? Like it better not be no concrete when I leave there.
I better be able to take the chair that I sat in, and it better be in gold.
Right. Yeah, and I better be getting steak, lobster, and champagne. Everything. Everything has to come with this $550 basketball game ticket. Now, as I say that, I'm talking junk. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking junk about Kobe, too. I hope y'all know the average for the damn tickets, Staples Center, the same night for this Lakers game where they played the Utah Jazz, people. The tickets are on the nose, $1,001 per ticket.
Wow.
Now, I was just talking junk. Yeah, exactly. I was just talking junk about Golden State, right? Now, let me tell you this. If I pay $1,000 and it ain't the Super Bowl or the NBA Finals, and then y'all better give me a Super Bowl. Like, I'm not paying that. Look, order the World Series for, okay. let me just start the check off. First, as soon as the game is over, no security stop me. I'm walking straight down to the court to Kobe. Right? Like, look, beeline. Be signing whatever I need to sign, pictures, selfies. $1,000 for the Lakers? Wait, hold on. Do y'all know what team is playing? Like, I know it's Kobe's last game, but do y'all know they got 65 losses? They got 65 losses and y'all paying $1,000? Everything has to be included. Steak, lobster, a suite at the best hotel out there. You know, my favorite hotel out there is the Montrose Hotel. 5-star. That's why I say that while I was out in L.A. You know what I'm saying? Okay. But, you already think where I'm going. Like, $1,000 to watch these bumps play for 2.5 hours? You got to be kidding. And Kobe, he must pay for this.
Unlimited everything.
Right. I'm going to have free passes to, the concession stand. Stop. But, see, that's the thing about the venue, especially out there in L.A., like, that's
celebrity
city.
Able to get into after parties and everything.
Yeah, I'm following Kobe's Jeep or helicopter in the sky. Everybody out my way. Cops better give me the tour through town, everything. Look, I'm not playing around. I'm not. $1,000 to watch the Lakers play against the Utah Jazz. But the Jazz are actually going to be playing their hearts out. The Jazz need to make the playoffs. You see what I'm saying? The Lakers like, man, screw it, man. We ready to see Kobe leave anyway. That's the worst part. That's how the team looking at it, man. All right. Let me get out of here, Sports City. But y'all already know that's how it's going down in California. Them people got money to spend. If you see somebody in Oakland that say they broke, they lying. If you see somebody in L.A. that say they broke, and they headed to Staples Center, there's broke people. There's broke people in both cities. Let me stop acting like that. I've been to both. But if they're in the vicinity of both of them arenas, they're lying. They are lying. You get them. I'm provoking violence. I apologize. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website. Interviews, blog, the chefs. On that note, tell a friend, it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
What have thought I'd be caught in this life. Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down. We gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'm
gonna go. Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the ow. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunts next to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, cause they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was, cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turned me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, this is true. All I got is this money, this to do.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up.